No, I can tell you.
Hang on. Sorry, Jared. Aren't you interested in that, Ray just asked?
Literally,
there could be 20 other markets that show more interest.
We were talking about football, soccer, and that's why I just threw in the Copa America.
Okay.
Gee, I'm sorry.
Hey, Jimmy, it's much better when you just spray the listeners instead of spraying your offsider. Hey, the Gold Logie's on tonight.
Oh!
You can bet on that through New South Wales.
Who's the favourite for that?
Well, Tom Gleeson, but he's a drifter, $1.90. Amanda Keller's been $4.50 into $3.50, and a late push for Sam Mack.
He's 14. Great. He's very good, Sam Mack.
He is. He's been 14 into 9.
I've got to say, dirty tactics from Tommy Gleeson with his campaign against...
It's all fun, isn't it?
It's sort of like, I don't want to win, but feel free to vote for me.
Exactly.
His show hard quiz is good fun.
It's very fun.
Yeah. Are you there tonight, Jimmy, on the red carpet?
No, he's not making my up.
He's working for a rival radio station this afternoon. Jerry Boy earns another income, so he can't make the Logies tonight.
I actually fully expected him to see in the list of Gold Logie nominees.
He'll be there one day, don't worry.
Because you don't necessarily have to have a show, apparently.
Don't necessarily have to show end or talent.
Oh, you're a moral.
Exactly. Fall right into that category. Good on you, Jared. Speak next week.
See you, boys.
Jared Gaffey there from TAB, 1353-53. Stop your whinging, James. You may have won today's battle, but we all know you'll lose the war. Just buy the cartons today. Paramat. Wise words.
But Dave from Wattle Grove.
From
James,
Paramat.
You've prevailed through adversity.
Speaking of, Mark Waugh. He is going to go through the Cricket World Cup with us after Australia's 86-run victory over New Zealand. We'll get a sports update with Tanya and Dean Bulldog Ritchie with all the latest news in rugby league.
I'm Sarah Womby. Australia has received overwhelming support from other world leaders in its efforts to locate a missing Australian in North Korea. Investigations are continuing into the disappearance of tour guide Alex Sigley, a prolific blogger who suddenly went silent on social media on Tuesday, causing his family to raise alarm bells. Prime Minister Scott Morrison spoke directly with Mr. Sigley's family from Osaka, where he's been attending the G20 summit. He has also discussed the matter with other G20 leaders. Labor leader Anthony Albanese says they support the government's efforts to find the missing man.
Some of these things are best done quietly rather than loudly, and we stand with the Australian government in order to secure the safety of this Australian citizen. We have been in touch with the Foreign Minister and will continue to do so.
David Hurley will be sworn in as Governor-General at a ceremony in Canberra tomorrow. The former Defence Force Chief assumes the post after the end of Sir Peter Cosgrove's five-year commission. Mr Hurley became the New South Wales Governor in 2014 after 42 years of service in the Australian Army, the last three of which he spent as Chief of the Defence Force. Mr Morrison will meet Mr Hurley and his wife Linda outside Parliament House before the retired General receives the General salute. Australian banks are set to comply with a new code of practice which will go live from tomorrow. Among the new rules, banks will no longer offer unsolicited credit card limit increases or charge fees for financial advice when no service is provided. Banks must also offer low fee or no fee accounts to low income customers, as well as simpler and fairer loan contracts for small businesses. CEO of the Australian Banking Association, Anna Bly, says the new code will provide significantly more protection to customers.
One of the most important aspects of the new Code of Banking Practice is that it is enforceable. There is a strong independent body with increased powers that can ensure that there are consequences for breaches, and they have powers where they can right the wrong for customers. So this is an enforceable code. It has real teeth, and that means better services and fairer banking for every Australian.
A man has been charged with arson after allegedly burning down his house in Queensland's Darling Downs region. Police say the man was reported missing after his home west of Warwick burnt down shortly before midday yesterday. The 38-year-old was found unharmed hours later and is expected to appear at the Warwick Magistrates Court tomorrow charged with arson. Overseas, a woman who was around 8 months pregnant has been stabbed to death and her baby is critically ill after being delivered by paramedics in London. Medics fought in vain to save the mother after being called to a London home in the middle of the night. Police say that a 37-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of murder and was in custody. The newborn remains in hospital in a critical condition. And Russian President Vladimir Putin says Elton John is mistaken about the rights of LGBTs in Russia after the artist condemned the Russian leader for denying the problems of that community in his country. In April 2017, however, it's reported that dozens of men were seized, tortured and slain in Chechnya for their sexual orientation or suspected sexual orientation. This is Air News. Mitchell Starc has taken his second five-wicket haul of the World Cup after Usman Khawaja saved Australia with the bat in an 86-run flogging of New Zealand. Khawaja hit 88 to help Australia recover from 5 for 93 and post 9 for 243 before Starc took 5 for 26 with the ball to roll the Black Caps for just 157 inside 44 overs at Lord's today. Parramatta have stormed back from 16-0 down to claim a stunning six-point NRL upset over Canberra in Darwin. The Raiders roared to a three-try lead after half an hour via a dynamic first-half display from star 5'8", Jack Whiten, and they still held a slender four-point lead with 18 minutes to go until Blake Ferguson brought the crowd back to life with a 70-metre intercept try. A 67th-minute solo effort from Mitchell Moses sealed back-to-back Eels wins, the score 22 points to 16. Earlier, the Knights beat the Broncos 26-12 and Manly took down the Titans 30-12. The Western Bulldogs have beaten Port Adelaide by 25 points at Adelaide Oval in the AFL. Collingwood has been thrashed by North Melbourne 81-37. Sydney too good for the Gold Coast 93-51. And West Coast defeated Hawthorn 77-71. The Crusaders have beaten the Hurricanes, winning their Super Rugby semi-final 30-26. And the Netherlands have reached the Women's Football World Cup semi-finals with a 2-0 win over Italy. Sweden also celebrated a 2-1 win over Germany. Australian Independent Radio News.
You've won the plumbing contract. Now, all you need is to hire the extra staff and the equipment to deliver the project. So, you call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. We've helped thousands of small business owners get ahead with loans of up to $250,000. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Dali Stallions have sired three of the four juvenile Group 1 winners this season, including the Group 1 Blue Diamond.
Liar over the top! Liar's won the diamond!
The first three home in the Golden Slipper.
Can you meet you in front from Microphone at Liar?
And the Stallion making Group 1 sired produce.
And Microphone's won it! Microphone's won the English side.
Start with a Dali Stallion and the rest will follow.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and coming soon to Liverpool.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Chardonnay. By De Bortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
The Clarendon Homes End of Financial Year bonus is on now. Save up to $40,000 on a new home when you deposit before June 30. Visit clarendon.com.au. T's and C's apply. In Homebush, we've got lane closures and a speed reduction on the M4 between Homebush Bay Drive and Parramatta Road. In the city, Young Street is closed between Bridge and Alfred Streets for roadworks. And in Woodford, Railway Parade from Buena Vista Road to the Appian Way at Woodford Station is closed for the cycle and run event. Want to get your projects done using the tools tradies trust? Head into your local Bunnings warehouse this tax time for great value at a huge range of trade quality tools and accessories. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today, it's a beautiful sunny day, top of 18 degrees, light winds, fantastic winter's afternoon coming up in Sydney. James, what's the forecast for Wellington and for Grafton?
Really, Wellington. Mostly near sunny Dubbo. Today, yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah, 15 degrees, so... bit chilly there. Grafton, on the other hand, morning fog, beautiful day, last day of the financial year, 24 degrees.
Shakira's through! He's got the ball! He doesn't need it! And Breakfast Radio, the big sports breakfast weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
It is the final hour of the program. Mark Waugh very shortly to talk us through that 86-run victory for Australia overnight against New Zealand. That's right, New Zealand. Panel operator Hamish. Tanya with a sports update. League news with Dean Bulldog Richie. And, of course, your calls on 1353-53. Raymond, mm-hmm. We're doing for a Winks book and a Wingman beer, carton of, acts of courage. Acts of courage on the back of Joe Westerman. I don't know whether anyone saw it. Hull FC versus Hull KR, 77th minute, dislocated knee. So he just
graphic vision,
bang, bang, knocked it back in.
Straight back into the scrum.
A la Darren Cresswell for the Sydney Swans. And so that's what we're looking for. And we've had some great nominations, including Jeff Harding, which, of course, often comes up. But and plenty of others around the quiz and my efforts to be involved in that. Too.
Overcoming adversity. That's one
exactly
of the greatest
right.
acts in sport.
Exactly right. Now,
Don from Carlton's got an interesting
has
take
he?
On
he
this.
He has got an interesting take on the world, yeah.
He says, no point in James Smith donating his brain to science. Not too many collisions hiding on the blind side in defence or never taking the ball to the line in attack. Mm. In fact, Jimmy will be able to sell his brain with the slogan, one owner never been used. You two guys are friends, aren't you?
Allegedly.
Yeah, Don. Jimmy, the Broncos are now value for the top eight at $4.25. This is a good point from Don from Carlton. Have a look at their draw. Very soft and lots of home games.
There you go. Something to follow up. I think we're on at about the $2.80 mark, but you get a bit better price now. They are. If the Panthers win today, and I think they can
froth and double more for the Broncos.
They're down to 14th. Mm. They're down to 14th. What's your take on Tariq Sims? We're still arguing about it.
Yeah. I personally think it was just an unfortunate accident. He wrapped both his arms around Michael Morgan. It's just an unfortunate situation. He had turned sideways to Tariq Sims, so. You don't agree, I know. We're polar opposites on this.
We're not there. We're not there on this one. We've got no doubt that he'll go to the judiciary during the course of the week and challenge it. And if he's successful, he will be in State of Origin 3, the decider. The thing about it is it then becomes a distraction for Brad Fittler and his team. I know they've got a longer preparation this time around, but you don't want those sort of things. You need the perfect run-in for this game. They are very short at $1.42.
And they need Nathan Cleary running. If they're going to select him, they need him running. As you said, he may go for a run today.
Today, the speculation is he'll run today.
Because they need him doing the drills, etc. You can't be carrying him well into this week or even into next week.
No, very good point. Raymond, your good friend, Mark Waugh, is apparently used to play cricket as well. So he's going to
went okay at the game.
give us an indication of just how Australia are tracking. They've had another win overnight for those people who missed it. 86 runs. Against New Zealand, but there were stages there with Finch, Smith and Warner all back in the pavilion that they might have been under a little bit of pressure, but this is where the talent comes to the fore. Let's get Mark's thoughts on it. G'day, Junior.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Yeah.
Good morning, Mark.
Really well. What was your take on that? It was almost like a good setup for Australia in that there wasn't the reliance on Finch and Warner and Smith and other players had to step up, and they did.
Yeah, they did. That's the second time we've sort of been five from 80 or 90 in the tournament against the West Indies early on, and then again last night. Alex Carey, actually, he's been the one that's been beautifully under pressure twice. He was excellent last night with his 71. Obviously, Khawaja was the backbone of the innings. The pitch was a little bit tricky. We've seen the last couple of weeks the pitches have been fairly dry and turning a bit, so run scoring hasn't been as easy. But, no, good win. Great win, and obviously Mitchell Starc was excellent with the ball getting another fifer.
That's a good point you raise, Ree, the pitches, Mark, and hasn't been easy to score, particularly in the middle overs. There's been a lot of criticism of the Australian top order selections and thoughts that maybe Khawaja should either open or Warner move down the order and Smith bat three, etc. But Finch and Warner are doing the job at the top of the order, and to be fair, the bowling throughout this World Cup has been excellent on pitches which haven't been altogether totally favourable for batsmen. So a score of 280-300 is almost winnable every time.
Yeah, well, we thought before the tournament that it was going to be a really high-scoring tournament, but that hasn't been the case. The pitches have actually been quite varied in a lot of the different venues, and even I saw England, Johnny Bairstow, come out last week and was blaming the pitches for England's sort of lack of form. But I think it's been good. It's been a good contest between bat and ball in a lot of the games. Yeah. I mean, there has been questions about our team selection, but I think we've pretty much got it right. I mean, Khawaja I don't think he was at his best last night. He had a bit of luck, but in the end, his 88 was, you know, pretty good innings under circumstances. So, you know, we're playing probably better than anybody. I think India, you know, they're sort of matching us at this stage. But at the moment, I think we're probably the number one pick. But it's a big game tonight, England versus India. Mm. That's a huge game. England, have got to win it. If they get beat tonight, they could easily miss out on the four, especially with Pakistan sneaking a win last night against Afghanistan. That was actually a pretty good game to watch, and Pakistan got out of jail there. They needed, I think, 18 off the last over, which they got. So there's some big games to come, but I think, you know, Australia are well-positioned at the top of the table at the moment.
They've carried all before them over the last couple of years, England. Is it just the pressure of a World Cup? Is it the fact they're hosting a World Cup? Is there a fragility with the playing group? What is it about them going to big tournaments like this, and we see it in football as well, to be honest, from them, that they don't get the job done, Mark?
Yeah, probably a bit of everything, Jimmy. I mean, tonight's game is huge. I think if they beat India tonight, they're still a real threat in this tournament.
Right.
I think it'll give them a lot of confidence. But I've just been watching them. They've just been too sort of one-dimensional with their batting. They just haven't adapted to any of the pitches. You know, their gung-ho approach is all right on flat pitches in sort of normal tournaments, but I think they just haven't been flexible enough with their batting, almost a little bit too arrogant or not willing to change. I think they see it as a weakness if they change their approach, but it's actually not. It's smarter cricket. They've just been too aggressive with their batting, so I think they've probably learnt their lesson so far in the tournament. But, I mean, tonight, if they win tonight, England, they're still well in it. You know, there's no doubt about it. They've got such a dangerous team. They've got a very well-balanced team, but they've got to do it tonight. So it's a huge game. Going to be great to watch.
Yeah, Mark, what did you make of Johnny Bairstow's comments after their recent loss when he said that the English have been waiting for us to fail? Does that show a fragility in the mindset, do you think? Or?
Yeah, well, I thought that was a funny comment, but I thought it was even more negative. He was complaining about the pitches. He said, you know, this is not what the pitches we're expecting to play on in this tournament. So, you know, I think they're making a few excuses, which is never a good sign, but you tend to do that when you lose, don't you? Mm. Try and deflect what's happening. So, you know, I don't read too much into it other than that they're just trying to deflect the pressure a little bit. Owen Morgan was obviously very prickly in his press conference after Australia beat them at Lord's, where Kevin Peterson came out and said that he looked a bit scared with the bat, which actually did look probably the case. But, look, I wouldn't write England off just yet. I mean, actually, it'd be good if they're still in the tournament because I'd love to beat them in the final. So.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, they bring a bit of quality to the semi-finals. I think they're a lot, you know, they're a better team than Pakistan who could sneak into the four. So, you know, I don't want to certainly cheer for England, but it would be good for the tournament if they did sneak into the four.
The old footy coach of mine, Gus Gould, used to say, anyone, anywhere, anytime. Mm. Basically, you eliminate all the excuses about, oh, we have to do this, we have to do that, and then you just get out there and play. Mitch Stark, he's just rewriting the record books. He's now got a third fifer in World Cups. No one else has done that. Mm. He's got a sixth fourfer, and no one else has done that. We start talking about him as one of the all-time great one-day international bowlers, not just for this country, but of all time, with those sort of numbers, Mark.
Yeah, I think so, Jimmy. I mean, he came into this tournament obviously off an enforced layoff with injury. And, you know, to me, he was the real X factor in the tournament. If he came good, Australia would be a real threat. And that's been the case. But he's got 24 wickets, so he's the leading wicket taker in the tournament by about 7 wickets. And you're right, he's got to go down as one of our greatest white ball bowlers. He's just so effective, obviously up front with the new ball. And then with the old ball, you know, he can bowl reverse swing. He's got a great Yorker, a good bouncer. He's, you know, he bowls at 145 to 150 k's. So, you know, he's got the package. You know, he's a wicket taker, and that's what you need to win these games. You know, I think Aaron Finch said it in the press conference overnight that Australia have struggled in the last couple of years to get wickets through the middle period, you know, without Mitchell Stark there. So he's sort of brought that X factor through the middle. But yeah, I mean, up front, if you can jag a couple of wickets, you're always putting the opposition on the back foot. So, I mean, his form, probably along with our top-order batting, has been the real catalyst so far in the tournament to our victories.
And, Mark, Berendorf's inclusion, he's taken 7 wickets in 2 games. And Nathan Lyon, I know Zampa's done a great job for Australia in the last couple of years in ODIs, but I love having Nathan Lyon there as your main spinner. Again, last night, 10 overs, 1 for 36. He just ties them up.
Yeah, look, I think we've got our our bowling attack right. I think that's our best bowling attack. Berendorf, an excellent new ball bowler. So when they picked him, obviously Pat Cummins had to sort of come in and bowl first change. So I think that's our best attack. And you're right, Lyon, you know what you're going to get off Lyon. He's going to bowl his 10 overs probably for round 40 or 50. If the wicket's turning, he'll probably pick up two or three wickets. So, you know, nothing against Adam Zampa, but I just think it's a more solid bowling lineup and less weaknesses in that bowling lineup. I saw Steve Smith actually took wicket last night, so that shows how the pitches are. There's a bit of turn there, but I think we've got it right. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about what's our best 11, but, you know, I think we're there now. There's no doubt about it. We're just playing so well and with a lot of confidence. I think the other teams, they haven't quite got their sort of, you know, 11's nailed down. You know, I think England's still sort of searching for their best 11, but we're in a great position at this stage.
Was Captain Williamson aggressive enough at 3 for 46? Bolt didn't come back to the 40th over.
Yeah, look, what were we, 5 for 92? Yeah. I think I would have attacked Khawaja with some real pace bowling early in his innings. I don't think they bowled enough pace at Khawaja. That could have been a mistake. Yeah, I mean, you look back and you think, could I have done it a bit better? Could I have went for the jugular with, you know, my trump bowlers? Captains tend to, you know, they tend to sit back and hold their better bowlers back all the time in 50-over cricket. And, yeah, I think there's occasions where you just, you know, you throw your best bowlers in, and even if they bowl out early on in the innings, you know, you're giving yourself a chance to bowl the opposition out. So, yeah, they'll look back at that. They dropped a few catches as well in New Zealand. But I think, you know, overall, I think the better team won last night. So, yeah, we move on. It's always good to beat England. It's always good to beat the Kiwis. They're the two teams that I've been in.
Exactly. Can we beat India, though, Mark? They beat us early in the tournament. They remain unbeaten going into the game against England tonight. Mm. They've got, obviously, the superstar Virat Kohli. They've got a great bowling attack. They're the team to beat, I think.
Well, they are, but I think if England beat them tonight, I'd nearly go back and say England are the team to beat. So, I mean, they're the top three teams, aren't they? Australia, India, and England. And on any day, they can beat each other. Let's face the facts. But I think Australia are the team playing with a lot of confidence. And I think if India win tonight, you know, they will think the same thing. I mean, they've got the class batting at the top of the order, haven't they, with Kohli and Sharma. You know, I think that they have a little bit of a weakness in that middle order. I'd personally play Rishabh Pant, who's coming to the team.
Yeah.
Shikhar Dhawan, I'd put him in the mix. I don't think Rahul and Yadav and those guys, Shankar, are as good as Rishabh Pant. So I don't think they're picking the best team, actually, India. But, I mean, on their day, they've got, you know, Bumrah, obviously, with the new ball, and their spinners. So it's going to be great. I mean, the next couple of weeks, you know, I'm sure it's going to, you know, the form of each team's going to come in and out a bit. So it's going to be on the day who plays, you know, best under pressure.
Mark, Mohammad Nabi, Afghanistan. You said he would struggle to dismiss Ray and I when we last spoke, and
he won't forget this, Mark.
He's actually taken 9 wickets, including 4 for 30. Who were the 9?
Well,
that
you know, if you make enough, you know, predictions, Jimmy, you'll get waived. we'll pay that one. You're right. He's actually bowled like a bloody jet, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Bowled beautifully.
Well, my man Rashid Khan, he got hit on the head, and that
he hasn't been the same.
It's knocked him around. It's hitting him. He's bowling terrible.
Yeah, well, he bowled pretty well last night, but you're right, Nabi's been he's been amazing. Yeah, he should be a selected, Jimmy. I mean, give up your rugby league expertise and start concentrating on cricket.
It's not a bad idea, actually.
Hey, Mark, before we let you go, obviously there's a lot of focus at the moment on the World Cup, but with Warner and Smith back scoring runs, the bowling attack working well, there's also, of course, the Ashes coming up. How are we placed, do you think?
No, real good, yeah. I mean, I think we've got Hazelwood, obviously, playing for Australia A. We've got James Pattinson in the mix as well. So, look, I think we've just got a great fast bowling attack. Mm. They're all fit and ready to go. The Ashes, I guess it depends on the pitches as well, you know, how whether they're going to be dry or going to suit the quicker bowlers. But, no, I think we're very well placed. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, can't wait.
I did say last year on the commentary to Michael Vaughan, I said, we'll win the World Cup, then we'll win the Ashes, when he was saying Australia were gone. So I'm going to stick by that. I think we're a great chance for the double.
Might have got a good price on that, if you...
Yeah, and Nabi to get...
Turn the all up. How good's the all up? Good on you, Mark. Appreciate that. Great to have your insight.
All right, guys. Good on you. See ya.
Thanks,
there he
Mark.
Is, ME War. great cricket mind, isn't he?
Oh, fantastic.
I love the way he reads the game.
In that game against against England, when we got to 280,
yes,
and social media was going berserk about how poorly batted, Mark Waugh said that any score of 280 plus will be enough. And he was right, because the fourth highest run chase ever would have been 282 or something at Lord's, so in a one day. So,
this comes in from Rich down at Wollongong. Ray, stop having a shocker with Tarek Sims. Stop saying it's Tarek's fault. Is it Tarek's fault? It is his responsibility to make a legal tackle. He hit Morgan in the head with his shoulder. That's illegal. It's funny you mention that, Rich, because that's pretty much exactly summing up what I've been talking to Ray about over the course of the last 3 hours. We're going to take a break. After the break, we'll have a sports update.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian proudly offer a quality yearling filly by Zoostar, the hottest young sire in Australia, champion first crop sire and now leading second crop sire. Our filly is from Moon to French, a stakes winner and Group 1 place to champion Mare Zenyatta. And our filly's had four siblings to race, all winners. Join our dynamic Gay and Adrian team in this fabulous filly at 12,885 per share. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Caribbean Blaster. He blew his rivals apart in his Victoria Cup win. A current track record holder. A winner of the Chariots of Fire. 4-year-old Breeders' Crown and SA Cup. Trainer Andy Gatt says he was the perfect racehorse. Get the facts. Ask someone who has a Blaster. They have perfect gait and constitution. Perfect conformation and 100% toughness. Caribbean Blaster. Standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
It's Tabs, who are you backing? The betting game show that's nowhere near as exciting as a same game multi. Now, a same game multi lets you combine bets like head to head with first try scorer and total points. You can even combine your same game multi with a racing single. This game show, on the other hand, is just me and Tony. Tell us what you did on the weekend, Tony.
Well, funny.
Oh, that's exciting, but not as exciting as the same game multi from Tab. Who are you backing? Available online to New South Wales, Vic and ACT account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Look, I'm afraid I'm leaving you. I know you've always been so good to me. You're always there when I need you. And the fact is, I still really love you. But, this is so hard. I have to move on. The guys are already on the beach.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, a sports update with Tanya Thomas.
Australia beat New Zealand in the day nighter at the Cricket World Cup at Lord's by 86 runs. Usman Khawaja hit 88 to help the Aussies to 9 for 243. Then Mitchell Stark took 5 for 26 to help the side bowl the Kiwis out for 157 inside 44 overs. On a brighter note for New Zealand is Trent Bolt making history with a hat-trick in the final over, bowling three consecutive Yorkers. It was the first one-day international hat-trick ever at Lord's. In the earlier game, Pakistan narrowly beat Afghanistan by 3 wickets. The win places Pakistan above England in fourth spot on the table. Parramatta has won back-to-back games for the first time since round 1 and 2 of the season, coming back from 16-0 down to beat Canberra 22-16 in Darwin. Raiders coach Ricky Stewart said it was the worst 50 minutes of football in years, the win placing the Eels back into the eight. Newcastle registered its 7th win from its past 8 games, 26-12 over Brisbane, in front of just over 24,000 at McDonald Jones Stadium, and Manly beat the Gold Coast 30-12 at Robina. Today, New Zealand play Penrith and Canterbury and Cronulla at 4:05. 31,000 fans turned out for the Super Rugby semi-final between the Jaguars and the Brumbies in Buenos Aires, the home team winning easy 39-7. In next weekend's grand final in Christchurch, they will take on the Crusaders, who managed to knock over the Hurricanes 30-26. It's the Canterbury side's third straight decider, and they'll be going for their 10th title. AFL and 4 wins in a row now for the Swans, with victory over the Gold Coast 93-51 at the SCG, but still outside the top 8. North Melbourne beat Collingwood by 44 points. Pies coach Nathan Buckley said the loss was embarrassing and as bad as it gets. The Western Bulldogs defeated Port Adelaide by 25 and West Coast beat Hawthorn by 6. Women's Football World Cup quarterfinals overnight in Sweden pulled off a shock 2-1 win over Germany. The Netherlands 2-0 over Italy. Semi-final 1 on Wednesday morning our time, England and the USA. And then Sweden play the Netherlands in the other on Thursday morning. 13 Aussies will line up in the first round of Wimbledon singles, which starts tomorrow night. Ash Barty has the number one seed. Alex de Minaur is the only other Aussie seed this year. He's at 25. Novak Djokovic, the men's top seed. Roger Federer is number two, ahead of Rafael Nadal at 3. That's because Federer is better. He has better grass court results. It's the only one of the four slams that doesn't follow world rankings. Meantime, in finals at Eastbourne overnight, Taylor Fritz beat Sam Curry and Carolina Pliskova beat Angelique Kerber. The Hockeyroos went down to the Netherlands 4-3 on penalties in the final of the inaugural Pro League tournament in Amsterdam. Charles Leclerc has pole position for the Austrian F1 Grand Prix. Dan Ricciardo has 12th spot on the grid. And boys, following the lead of the NFL to the NBA, Major League Baseball has made its way to the UK with the London series currently underway. The New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox, they played their first of two games this morning. The other is tomorrow morning. It was a slugfest. The Yankees won 17-13. Yeah, so they were hitting them out of the park, left, right and centre.
Go the Yankees.
The first regular game, or MLB game, on European soil. They played at the London Stadium, which has a capacity of 66,000. So over 130,000 tickets sold almost instantly when they went on sale, if that's grammatically correct. So, which was despite the fact that the prices were quite, they were inflated compared to if you'd gone to Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park. So, obviously, people just wanted to see, you know, the two great teams play. It took 23 days to lay 142,000 square footage of artificial lawn.
Wow.
So, getting it all in order there. Harry and Meghan were in attendance, if that interests you.
With their new nanny? They got their third nanny in 6 weeks or something, apparently?
No, there was no nanny there. I think Archie was there. However, both teams presented them with little jerseys for Archie. Okay. The Yankees was a better one than the Red Sox one.
Of course. They took a couple of small teams over, didn't they? The Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Arguably the two biggest...
Got to go to Yankees game one day.
...clubs in the league. It's just amazing, you know what? On that, Tan, and we talk about it with the NFL, but it's amazing how global these brands are now.
They are
just so global and getting bigger and more valuable by the day.
Well, yeah, the NFL and the NBA are doing it, and the MLB say, we want a bit of that, so they're doing it themselves now.
And that brings back another topic of debate,
yes.
Which is why sports have to be innovative, why they have to try and change things and do things differently, because what's worked in the past won't work in the future.
And yet... You want to criticise the National Rugby League for taking State of Origin to Perth?
I'll say I was wrong about that.
You're right, the date and the time.
Oh, well done, Tanya. I was going for the pen. I was just about to make note of that.
I don't know whose look was more shocked, yours or Tanya. Anyway.
Well, just on that, we've had a reply to Sparty who said, look, how does Tanya and Ray work together? That's an act of courage. And we've had little Burns. Katie Burns has come back and said, the people around my husband and I are baffled that we've actually lived together for 12 years and worked together for 10 of them, especially considering how much of a pain in the backside I am. That's from little Burns. And Sparty said, well, that's gold medal deserving. And little Burns said, I guess we really like each other. It's odd, because in our spare time, we actively choose just to hang out together as a family as well.
Well, it is only 5 hours a week. So if we can't handle that, we're in big trouble.
Good point,
Tan. If it wasn't for this station, we wouldn't...
Oh, there you go. For those cookies. There you go. Way to a man's heart.
I don't
through
need to
his
make
stomach.
Them anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Haven't been seen since. Haven't been sighted since the nuptials have been put in place. Haven't sighted a cookie. Just on that, little Burns, you and your husband, genuine weirdos. So there you go.
Oh, they don't like each other.
53-53.
Tan's my best friend, and that's why... It works, I think. Is that fair enough?
Ditto.
What sort of a program we got here on a Sunday morning? It's an advice
line. A bit of everything.
Dr. Phil.
That's right. If you're having problems within your relationship, if your relationship is great, give us a call as well, because we'd like to hear about that. Or sport. That's a third option. 1353 53 is the open line number. Thank you, Tan. We do appreciate that. John's on the line. G'day, John.
Hello, fellas. Good morning. Great show again.
It is a sports show, John. Allegedly.
Yeah. You've covered a lot of angles this morning, fellas.
Allegedly.
It'll be a talk-back relationship.
Well, you better be careful, eh? You want to talk sport, John, or...?
Yes, mate.
Okay.
Just a couple of things, just quickly. Mm. your courage thing, mate. Some of those marathon runners, but have there been anything better than Johnny Sattler in that 1970 grand final where he played with that busted jaw?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it was, I know Sammy Burgess had the cracked cheekbone, and that was a great act of courage as well, but Sattler's jaw was sliding off his face.
Oh, absolutely. And Jimmy, if I may say, that was an era where you can keep on attacking a player's head.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Unlike Sammy, which was courageous as well, but, you know, the rules today are a hell of a lot different.
Yep.
I'll try and be quick. I just want to say what brilliant tactical work with from Aaron Finch and Justin Langer to bring Nathan Lyon into this bowling attack late in the tournament and not expose him earlier, when there was less pressure in the round robin and teams could have attacked him. This is the tactical play of the tournament, bringing him and tying up an end with Nathan Lyon.
I love having the bowling attack, John, because Zampa was doing a job for Australia and can take wickets, but I love having Lyon there because, as Mark Waugh said, you know what you're going to get with Nathan Lyon each and every game. He'll take you 10 overs, 40 runs, might pick a wicket or two, but he'll hold up an end.
That's a really interesting point from John about that because, yeah, there's pressure on Nathan Lyon as well because the matches mean more this end of the tournament. But he likes pressure.
Absolutely.
He
for breakfast.
Yeah, that's right. So the pressure is then transferred onto
the
batsman.
Yeah.
Excellent Good call, point. John. Mm. Great one. Let's go to Robert. G'day, Rob.
Hey, boys. Courage. Have you had Dud Beattie yet?
No.
Dud Beattie played in the front row for Australia.
Yeah.
Back in the 50s and 60s when there was no replacements. And they were playing England at the cricket ground, I think it was, and he broke his arm. So he said to whoever the captain was at the time, look, I'm gone, I've got to go off, but give me 5 minutes and I'll take one of the Poms with me.
Different era.
So he started a fight with Alan Prescott, of all people, with a broken arm. And subsequently, they both get sent off.
Mm.
And there's a classic picture of the old St. John ambulance man holding his timber medical chest with one hand, with his arm supporting Beattie with the other, and with whatever hands he had left, which was none, was trying to hold Prescott off as they were walking off. He's still trying to attack Beattie.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Great
isn't
story.
It? Dud Beattie. Yeah, I'm just looking up his numbers here. I'm trying to... Oh, there was the game. Where'd you say it? The SCG or Lang Park?
I couldn't be sure. I thought it was the SCG.
Lang Park. That's all right. I'm just trying to find it. Anyway, great yarn. Yeah. Was he a selector for a long time, Dud Beattie, an administrator of some?
He ended up an official with, I think, a QRL. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Great call, Rob.
Yeah, great call.
Good memory.
While you're there.
Yeah.
Can I get the name of that hair dye Ray uses?
About that, a couple of grey hairs coming here, unfortunately, mate, Robert.
I've been watching the TV at Flemington at Melbourne Cup Day, 100,000 people here. Hey, that's right.
I sort of stand out a bit, don't I?
Spot it.
Sadly,
Robert, your question and Ray's response is that's something you can mark down in the 10-year history of this program. I thought that was magical.
Of course,
because,
you did, Jim.
Yeah, I know, because a lot of people. Now it was a talk topic again last night. Your hair.
Was it?
Yeah. And who'll ever forget the time when I asked Tanya after the show? Great call, Robert.
Robert, I think you're going to win now. Yeah, she loves it.
Triple asterisks, Robert. I said, oh, Tan, what's on today? She said, oh, got to go and buy a new hairdryer. I said, oh, why is that? Oh, well, Ray's broke down and he's been using mine over and over again.
You're a hard man.
No, I'm not a hard man. That's how it was relayed to me, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was. That went live there.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to confirm. No colour in?
No, a couple of greys here now.
Yeah, a couple of greys. Okay, all right. It's fascinating close up, ladies and gentlemen. I'll get a photo and put that out on social media.
You are a hard man.
Yeah, anyway, and everyone knows what that's code for, right? We better take a break. After the break, we'll be back with Dean Bulldog Ritchie.
Warrawee needy. Here's what one of the USA's leading drivers, Jody Jameson, had to say about him after he retired as the fastest horse on the planet.
Warrawee needy was one of the best horses I ever drove, bar none. Some of the fastest quarters a horse has ever paced. Warrawee needy paced those quarters. He's come quarters in 25 seconds. Tall, beautiful horse, clean-legged, powerful, powerful strides, and an amazing brain, which is very important when you're racing in Australasia. Just an amazing animal, and I'm sure he'll do wonders here down under.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success.
Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and coming soon to Liverpool.
Ribchester, the European champion miler twice and four-time Group 1 winner, including the Group 1 Queen Anne at Royal Ascot in record time. Ribchester, a son of successful shuttle stallion Ifraj, with record-breaking form at a mile, free of Danehill and Danzig blood, a great outcross for the many Danehill line mares in this country. Mares by Exceed and Excel, Snitzel, Not a Single Doubt, and many others. For more information, visit darley.com.au.
It's Tabs, who are you backing? The betting game show that's nowhere near as exciting as a same game multi. Now, a same game multi lets you combine bets like head to head with first try scorer and total points. You can even combine your same game multi with a racing single. This game show, on the other hand, is just me and Tony. Tell us what you did on the weekend, Tony.
Well, honey.
Oh, that's exciting, but not as exciting as the same game multi from Tab. Who are you backing? Available online to New South Wales, Vic and ACT account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
And Okar! And Okar goes for the accelerator. He's down to the third. He gets it to Tedesco. Tedesco flick passes. Here comes number three for Tommy. Tom Dragojevic scores a treble. My God, how good was that?
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Our talk topic, acts of courage in sport. We were talking about Johnny Sattler's broken jaw, yes. Dud Beattie's broken arm. It reminded me of Jeff Fenwick, and I was there. Late 80s, he fought Victor Kalidis with a broken right hand. And Jeff regards as one of his all-time great fights. He dominated that fight effectively with his best punch unavailable to him.
Where was that held?
In Melbourne, yeah.
In Melbourne,
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, he fought a few title fights in Melbourne back then.
Yeah, okay.
And he fought effectively with his left hand, dominated Victor Kalidis and won the fight.
Amazing, isn't it? 13:53:53. Just before we get to Dean Bulldog Ritchie, Josty has sent something in on Twitter, which brought some water to the eyes of both Ray and myself. Talking about the legendary Wayne Buck Shelford, who in a game against France, and the French could get all fired up back in the day when you could ruck, he scrotum burst open and he refused to leave the field.
No, it can't go there, Jim.
Well, this is what happened. The Battle of Nantes, it's called. I can't get the year that it happened.
86, I think it was.
He was deeply concussed. He had a large tear, lost four teeth. So there you go. And finally came from the field in the 60th minute. But that happened in the first half. And they reckon the French players were loaded on something. So there you go. But Wayne Buck Shelford, what a legend.
And they stitched him up on the sideline.
And I love the fact that at any sporting event in New Zealand you go to now, someone's got the sign, bring back Buck. Bring back
did
Buck.
They?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because he was, why did he get dropped? Did anyone know? No one could understand why he was dropped. And he was the greatest player in the world.
And toughest bloke of all time, but really
clearly,
now.
Clearly. The number one rugby league writer for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph joins us again, as he does every Sunday. Hello, Dino.
Yeah, good morning, boys. I've got one for you, a little bit left field. Remember Rick McCosker and the Centenary Test?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think he came out with a bandaged jaw which had been broken. Might have been by a Bob Willis bouncer from memory.
Correct.
It certainly was. And he helped Marshy get the 100.
Courageous stuff.
Yeah,
amazing stuff. Kerry O'Keefe opened the batting that second innings, which is even more amazing when you've seen Kerry bat. But anyway, 13:53:53, the open line number. Hey, Dino, Daniel Saifidi, I thought his contribution was solid, first Origin game. Does he get a look in if Tarek Sims is not suspended?
Yeah, I think that's the way they're heading, Jimmy. Of course, that will be formally announced tomorrow morning. Sims, of course, if suspended, would miss 2 to 3 weeks. He's been hit with a grade 2 dangerous contact charge on Michael Morgan. So it would seem that Saifidi, if Sims is suspended, would retain his place. Clemmer would come back in, of course, given his solid game yesterday for Newcastle. Still some doubts over Nathan Cleary. I can't quite believe that he's ready to play, but more reports this morning he's ready to start running again. Mm. I was in the New South Wales rooms at full time and they were thinking he'd be in a moon boot for 3 to 4 weeks. and be out for 6 weeks. So certainly, if he can get back for game three, would be one of those miracle recoveries. Just on Saifidi too, Jimmy. Newcastle have tabled a 2-year extension for him. They realise he's only 23 properly at the moment. He's already under contract up there until 2020, so that would take him through to 2022. So no deal formally signed yet, but certainly negotiations are well underway.
Dino, just say Cleary doesn't make it. Who plays half? Who plays 5-8? Does Whiten go into 5-8? Does Graham start there? Does Latrell Mitchell come back in?
They've picked Mitchell Pearce twice. Well, they've asked him twice. Will
Pearce come back in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think at the moment, Ray, there'd only be two options that they're seriously looking at. I don't think they'll go back to Mitchell Pearce again. It would be either what you just said. It would be Wade Graham and or Jack Whiten. I said earlier in the week that certainly Wade Graham was sensational in there at 5-8, but it is a different story when you pick to play there and you've got to prepare all week. You've got a 10-day build-up. The opposition side has the ability to obviously do a lot of homework on you. And to come into a game up 18-6 in the rain, control it, was a wonderful effort from Wade, but it certainly would be a different story if, in fact, he had to start there.
Yeah,
and a totally dominant forward pack at the time too.
And it changes the balance of your bench too.
Well, can you have Maloney and Pearce in the same team? Two players who are very dominant players.
Roos has won a comp with them in 2013.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
So I think you could do that. Now, what about the Warriors? They're playing today. They are actually favourites against the Panthers, who have won four on the trot, but they continue to underwhelm in my mind, Duno.
Yeah, they do every year in my my book, Jimmy. Just a very, very disappointing franchise. But look, they are trying to make some key signings. They've gone hard after Matt Lodge, $1 million a year offer. But from what I'm hearing, that Lodge will spurn that and remain at the Broncos. But they're also chasing a young hooker called Jake Turpin, another Broncos player. And they've also got Cody Nicarima this year. So certainly the Warriors are looking at the Broncos and thinking that they could get their teeth into their roster. So certainly Turpin is looking at a move across the Tasman, as is Lodge. But I think at the moment the odds are that Matt Lodge will stay in Brisbane. Tevita Pangai Jr., another interesting one. He looks like he's going to stay, but gee, I keep hearing that South Sydney is very, very interested in Tevita Pangai as the Newcastle Knights.
Gee, Wayne would love to do that to his old club. Just on that, the Matt Lodge to the Warriors pursuit. Peter O'Sullivan, who's the recruitment manager over there at the Warriors, his daughter is in a relationship with Matt Lodge. They have a child together. So that would be bringing the family over. So there's another layer to add to that negotiation as well.
Yeah, certainly he's come good, Matt Lodge. You've got to give him credit, I guess.
No doubt.
The images that we saw in New York a few years ago were very, very disturbing. But I guess rugby league is about redemption, Jimmy. And in this case, he's certainly done a great job. And look, it just proves to you, when you knuckle down and play the football that you're capable of, there's some big money there. And Matt Lodge can set himself up for life at the moment.
Hey, Dino, can I ask you about women's State of Origin? Will we see a best of three game series next year?
I don't think so, Ray, at this point. Certainly, it is being discussed. I can tell you that Todd Greenberg has met with the Queensland government, and it looks like North Sydney Oval will miss out next year, which is a bit of a shame. It's been played there the last 2 years. It's always a lovely old atmosphere at Old Bear Park, but it looks like the game next year will go to Brisbane. The actual time and scheduling unknown just yet, but it'll probably be on the same weekend. That was the logic, but certainly talks are underway to take it to Brisbane. They think it's now becoming a jewel in the rugby league calendar. Certainly given the ratings last Friday night or Friday week ago were well over 1 million viewers. So I think we'll find next year that it will be taken to Queensland, which I think is a good thing for the game to share it around.
Redcliffe Stadium, I think it'd probably be ideal for that. A bit out of the heart of Brisbane, but perfect size. Suncorp probably a little big at this point. Dino, a couple of games to finish round 15 of the National Rugby League. Do you have any updates on teams?
Yeah, there's not a lot of news to come out of the teams this morning, Jimmy. Warriors, Panthers, that's at Mount Smart. 2 o'clock kickoff. Warriors should be 1-17. The Panthers have also had a fairly settled preparation. Jerome Luai will come in for Nathan Cleary. Dean Farre named as the reserve. There is a suggestion that he could get a start to today, and the second game, Bulldog Sharks, ANZ Stadium, 4:05 kickoff. No changes to the Doggies. Jack Cogger, of course, sustained some concussion, missed last week's match against the Roosters. He'll be back to partner Kieran Bourne in the halves. And the Sharks, Braden Hamlin Ueli, will replace the suspended Andrew Fifita. And the bloke we just spoke about, Wade Graham, he will start today. So some good news there for the Sharks.
Mm. And any other news around, mate?
Yeah, I'm just hearing, Jimmy, before I go, that Wayne Bennett looks like he wants to continue on as England coach, which is good for the international game. He's in discussions with the English Rugby League. He wants to go through to the 2021 World Cup, which, of course, is in England. So that will be a big event over there in the north of England. And it looks like Bennett will be there right through. So good news for England and for the international game to have a coach of his profile remaining in the international game.
They're not so happy with him over there because he's, what do they call him? I think they described him as the fox in the hen house. He's trying to sign their players. By the way, if you sign with us, we'll give you an English jersey.
Not absolutely. Like... Just on George Burgess too, guys. Just
oh, yeah.
Worth. I think it's going to have to be the season for him. It just can't be in the game. I can't see any way that he could possibly play again this year. Of course, he's off contract after this season. South Sydney won't be re-signing him, so it'd be a very disappointing way to end a great era for George Burgess at Redfern, but I think you'll look at quite a hefty stretch on the sidelines. And look, guys, it may not be his last game in South Coles, it may also be his last game in the NRL with some interest there in England, and also perhaps a few clubs now in Australia just balking at signing the big fella. So if it does end this way, yeah, I think it's a disappointing way to end what's been a good, strong career at Redfern.
Yeah, really good career. Highlighted, of course, by the premiership in 2014. Yep. He scored that great try under the post that took the Rabbitohs out. Yeah. But just ridiculous what he did.
Mm.
Good on you, Dino. We'll speak again next week.
Great. Thanks, Ben.
Dean Bulldog, Richard Eyre, number one rugby league writer for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph. 1353 53, the open line number. Just before we get to callers, Craig from Cronulla has texted in again. Has Paddy Richards got a start yet? The Forgotten Fend is a great 10-minute doco on it by the Tigers. Also, Black Caviar's win at Royal Ascot. Now, she was... Injured,
yeah, after the race, was, had a number of little issues.
Paddy Richards, of course, was the recipient of the great flick pass from Benji Marshall.
Yeah.
But he struggled all week to be a part of the side, and there was speculation that he was going to have to be ruled out. It was an ankle injury.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it might have been Joel Kane that was going to take his spot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, he's never forgiven Pat for recovering. So a disappointment there from Joel. But anyway, good point. Craig from Cronulla, it's a good one. Yeah, Paddy Richards, 1353 53, the open line. He's good, Craig from Cronulla. He texts in a lot. Ray's on the line. G'day, Ray.
How you going, fellas?
Yeah, really well, mate.
That's good. I just want to talk about head injuries and the long-term effects of head injuries.
Mm. Yes.
Through sport, contact sport. As a 14-year-old, got knocked out to a stage where I was in and out of consciousness for 30 minutes. Never got taken to the hospital. This is going back 35 years ago when it wasn't sort of thought of as being a bad thing.
Yes.
But I've also fallen off a horse, split my head open, ended up in hospital, 6 stitches, got knocked out in a fight, hit my head on the road. Those things are all going to attribute. And what we did as kids, you know, run into coffee tables and things like that.
Yep.
It's life. You know, we make our decisions. They're doing a lot better for head injuries today with the concussion rule.
Yep.
And I think that's the way we can just look forward and learn from our mistakes rather than worry about, you know, banning football because of head injuries. You know, life gives you head injuries.
Yeah. It's a really interesting one, Ray. And it's a really great way that you've put it there. Yep. It's about assessing the risk and seeing what you're prepared to undertake and not. And there are some people who will look at a game of rugby league, look at a game of AFL. AFL's had their own issues around concussion and say, right, well, I won't let my son or daughter play that sport. Or there's others who look at it and say, just like you, Ray, it's part of growing up and I will allow that.
Well, there's even been some suggestions of banning tackle in junior rugby league. That'd be the worst thing because that's where you learn how to tackle, how to roll, how to cope with that with the game. And you learn with you can continue on with it. You can't just go to 17, 18 years old and all of a sudden start to play a tackle contest. Ridiculous.
No, it's a very good point. 1353 53, the open line number. Time now to go to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. I'll tell you what, we chipped him last week about the length of the live read that he's got here today. He didn't listen.
Rephrase it. You chipped him because the great man, he deserves a run.
Morning, Scott.
Jimmy, I've copped a few head knocks myself in the time, so I need a bit of extra time.
Good comeback, Scotty.
Fair enough. How we go? Did we sell that car last week?
No, boys. We haven't had much luck over the last few weeks, but the end of financial year is upon us. So I've got an absolute bargain for the listeners today. This one's a 2016 model, so it's a very late model. Ford Fiesta automatic 5-door hatch with only 51,000 kilometres. It's going to be a great first car for someone. It is a one owner and it comes with logbooks and service history. It's white in colour and a stunning looking little hatch. It's packed full of options, including 7 airbags, ABS brakes, brake assist, hill holder, traction control, cruise control, power windows, Bluetooth connectivity, colour-coded bumpers and a rear spoiler. So this is a 2016 model, low kilometre, 5-door automatic hatch. It's going to be very safe, reliable and economical. So it is going to be that great first car. It's on special for the listeners today. And boys, this is a steal. It's just $9,990. It is cheap. It's a 2016 model, 5-door automatic hatch with only 51,000 kilometres. And it's only $9,990, so under $10,000. So go to the website, www.fosterscqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 96375024, and make sure you mention Sky Sports Radio to get this great price.
And, Scotty, you can help with finance as well.
Certainly can. If you want finance for this car or any car or truck, we've got access to a number of lenders, and it allows us to get the best possible rate. It also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car or truck. So if you've had a credit issues in the past, then now's the time to give us a call. Even if you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid default, you're starting a new business and need that truck or car, then go to the website, www.fosterscqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 96375024.
You're still hanging out with Mick Appleby from the Good Truck Wholesalers?
What a good bloke he is, mate. Things are going very well.
You don't know him that well, do you?
I hear about all the stories about when he was playing at the Roosters with you and trips away and things like that.
So
we get on really well. It's working out well. So if you're after a truck, we do have the cheapest in Australia. So give us a call on 96375024 and let us know what sort of truck you're after. And if we don't have one to suit, we'll find the best one available at the best possible price.
Mate, how's the new Plaza food area going at Wenny Leagues Club?
Well, the $77 million renovations at Wenny Leagues is just past halfway. The new Plaza food area is enormous. It's packed all the time.
Yeah.
There's 6 eateries there. It's sensational. I love going there. And, boys, we've got a big day of rugby league at Ringrose Park today, so it'll be a good day to get down there, watch Wenny's Harvey Norman women's side play at 11 o'clock against Mountie. And then we've got the Parramatta Eels Jersey Flag side playing Canberra at 1. And the main game, Wenny's Canterbury Cup side playing Mounties at 3 p.m. So three great games of rugby league. Then you can go over and try out the newly renovated Wenny Leagues and meet the players because we're having a function there after the games today. You meet them, have a meal and some drinks and enjoy the new complex.
From what I understand, and this is unconfirmed at this point, but I believe it to be true, and that is the two man-made objects that you can see from space, the Great Wall of China and the car park at Wenny Leagues Club. You can't miss it. Can you, Scotty?
It's huge, so don't be afraid of not getting a car spot.
I think you'd be right for parking. Let's just put it that way.
The car park should
be right.
You won't have a problem there.
What you should do is take your new Ford Fiesta to Wenny Leagues Club and have the meal in
now
the plaza.
You're thinking. So, now you're thinking.
Hey, that's the daily double there. Good on you, Scotty. We'll speak next week.
Yeah, how about this, boys? If a listener goes in and buys a Fiesta, I'll shout them dinner at the club, at the new plaza.
Make the most of that offer.
Yeah,
rarely comes.
All right.
That's a great offer.